true. Summit County Justice Files.
Welcome to the Summit County Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, Tom, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes.
We would never be accused of that, would
yeah,
we?
No, we'd never get accused of that. Let's get into it. From the patrol, we have a case of illegal dumping.
Literally.
Somebody was camping in a condominium parking lot, and along with camping comes dumping.
Yeah, the property manager there had noticed a car parked, over and over again at night, and also by the morning time had found that someone had been defecating in the condominium complex hallways.
In the hallways.
Well, yes, of course. You got to do it indoors.
I was thinking this is out in the parking lot.
No. This is
okay.
This is, you know.
This is a whole different issue.
Think of a large outhouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. At least that's what they thought it was.
Well, that's what they thought it was.
Right.
You know, the deputies contacted the guy, and he confirmed that he actually lived there and often just sits in his car and makes phone calls. People do strange things.
True.
He absolutely denied defecating anywhere other than inside his condominium in his own bathroom. But there was no way to tie the defecation to this person in the car. But, we've had these defecation stories before in bushes in front of people's houses.
Yeah, exactly. Usually outdoors.
And we do have people living in their cars here in Summit County. And this is what they thought, you know, the property management thought. You would think the property manager would know who lives in the building.
You would think.
But don't worry, the deputy sorted it out, and the property manager had to clean up the poop.
We don't know where the row of poop came from.
You know, because we couldn't prove a crime, we didn't send our evidence team out there to collect DNA samples.
Okay.
But we would have had we concluded a crime occurred.
So what's seriously, what sort of a crime? I mean, if there was like a breaking and entering or something serious, somebody got hurt, if there was blood along with the poop, I'm sure there would have been a little more investigation.
There certainly would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is just the property manager coming across poop, coming across a guy who he sees in a car all the time and just put two and two together and came up with poop.
So a rogue pooper is at large. Search and rescue got involved with the North 10 Mile Creek area after a bicycle of a missing person was located near the trail.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about a couple of missing person stories here on the podcast and on the radio, and we've talked about a couple recently, and we've talked about, you know, finding people in the canyon. This is another one where tragically this was a local individual that used to scramble up this ridgeline and this cliff face as a regular workout. Unfortunately, he was found deceased at the base of a cliff. And it was pretty big coordinated recovery operation there with the Summit County Sheriff's Office and Summit County Rescue Group that literally took all day, because originally they were planning some of these rescues will bring in helicopters and other resources. And on that day, because of weather and conditions, they couldn't fly it. And so the rescue group, along with our sheriff's office personnel hiked in to retrieve this person and hiked out. It was about an 8-hour mission, you know, top to bottom. So it was an extensive thing. What always makes it horribly more tragic, at least for our community, is when it's a local that most people know.
Right.
But it brings quick closure, at least.
Yeah. How many deaths on average in the backcountry occur every summer? I know there's a stat out there from Search and Rescue.
Yeah, I don't know what the stat is off on the top of my head, but it just seems, you know, as we've talked about this over the years, Tom, it just seems that the more equipment progresses, the more people get out in the backcountry, the more people that feel like they're in shape to do things. And like with most, I do know that with most rescues, you think that we would come across the most challenged people or people with inexperience, where it's actually the opposite, because the people with the most experience are pushing the boundaries even further. You know, the assumption is, and we won't know till the coroner's report comes back, but the assumption with this person was that, you know, they were probably, you know, they were known to always want to beat their time from last time. And who doesn't do that? We do that on bikes. We do that on skis. Sure. We do that on everything that we play with.
Uh-huh. On my way to work every morning.
See?
No, I don't do that.
Oh, is that as you're screaming out the window, I know the sheriff.
Right.
Oh,
I'm not going to work.
But we do. I mean, our rescuers, we're getting busier and busier every year out in the backcountry. And it's because we're pushing the boundaries further, and we're looking for the next adventure, the next big adventure out there to do.
Well, and I see all these great videos on YouTube, and I want to do that too.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Why weren't they doing that when we were younger?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably a good thing they didn't do that.
Probably
otherwise,
a good thing.
I wouldn't be here to talk
and
with
And it's probably
right
a good
now.
Thing we don't do it now.
Exactly. It's a very good thing.
It's probably a good thing we watch it on YouTube.
It's the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we visit on the radio on Thursday mornings at about 7:45. We spend a couple of minutes on Crystal 93, and then here on the podcast, we get to dig a little deeper into the Justice Files. A kidnapping. Talk about this one.
Yeah, so this is a kidnapping that was reported by, this is a couple of, as it turned out, it was reported as a kidnapping. But as I always say, the call you're dispatched to is never the call you're going to. It turns out that someone wanted to report that their former spouse had kidnapped their kid and taken them out of the country. You would be amazed at how many calls that we get about situations like this, where it's one ex-spouse accusing another ex-spouse of violating some sort of order. You know, whether kidnapping, and it always goes to kidnapping.
Yeah.
In this case, as in many cases, it wasn't the case. Whatever was going on was legitimate, and there was court paperwork to back it up. But it's amazing how many times we have to ask people, do you have the court documents? You know, can we see, you know, we can't make these civil, obviously when people say kidnap is because they know it'll solicit a police response,
sure.
Right? Because a crime has occurred. But we have yet to see a real kidnapping like this, where it's a child kidnapping, where you do see those Amber Alerts go out always across. They go across the country with legitimate kidnappings like this. But in this case, this was not a kidnapping. This is just a disgruntled former spouse because their other former spouse was not living up to the agreement.
Summit County Justice Files, where things happen in Summit County, including people going missing. There's a man searching the officer's gulch area for a missing person and reported that his dog showed strong interest in a nearby beaver dam.
Yeah, so this is this relates to the case we talked about with the guy that's missing out of Vail, which is Eagle County, the county over from us, and that we had assisted. You know, I think last week we talked about this. There was over, I think, 300 to 500 personnel hours, dogs, drones. So what was interesting about this one is the person reporting this was aware of this case. They're part of another volunteer search and rescue group in another county. So they're aware of the case. They were hiking with their dog, who is a search dog. and their dog had some interest in an area that we had searched. And so, of course, you know, this person let us know because of their expertise and the dog's expertise in this. And unfortunately for us, for them, for the missing person's family, this was an area we had searched extensively. Of course, we went back to look at where he was talking about, but unfortunately, we still have not found that person missing out of Vail.
Still a big mystery.
Still a big mystery. You know, we had talked about last week, I was thinking that as the high water comes up, because it is along a creek there in the canyon, that hopefully, if he is in the river, that the high water that should be coming, if the sun comes out, might pop him up.
The snowmelt will eventually get here. Yeah,
just like they always say, it will snow. Well, it'll eventually.
Yeah, it gets summer in the high country right around Father's Day weekend. That's our
usually ends right around Father's Day.
Yeah. I mean, usually around the rest of the country, it's Memorial Day weekend, the kickoff of summer. But we have to wait until Father's Day weekend, just due to our elevation and weather and a lot of reasons why we're here.
Yeah, you know, when I first moved here, and we had a house here in Breckenridge, I remember the first winter here, digging out the backyard fire pit for Father's Day weekend to have a fire in the fire pit.
Oh, yeah.
Actually having to dig it out.
Dig the snow out.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it was 20 years ago.
And there's still some snowpack around in the woods, and we're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
Not at all. Well, let's talk about, you've got a new canine with the Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
And you've been putting the canine to work.
Yeah, so this was exciting. We had a traffic stop here last week. Where we stopped a car, and the deputy that stopped this car for a traffic violation sensed that this person was under the influence. And so they called our canine over there to do a car sniff, and the dog hit on, you know, signaled that indicated there was narcotics in the car. And lo and behold, we found narcotics in the car. Why this is great is, A, the dog is brand new. The handler's not, but the dog is, and their partnership is new. This is the first search the dog has done because it is newly certified. But along with certification, you know, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, sends narcotic canine dogs like us, like our unit, training drugs, like real drugs, but they're training. And they're certified real drugs, but you got to wait till the federal government sends them to you. So we've been kind of in this holding pattern, waiting for her training drugs to arrive.
Like, what kind of real drugs?
Oh, every drug, like heroin, meth, you know, you name it. It's a whole kit of real drugs.
Wow. And it's all sent by the government because it's approved for training purposes.
It's all sent by the DEA.
Wow, interesting.
And so that's what made it even better was that while this dog can't train, we don't have any drugs for her to train with.
Right.
From school, this was her first real search, and she did phenomenal.
Now, talk about this new canine member of the Sheriff's Department. It's a very unique breed, first of all.
Yeah, it's a Belgian Malinois. She came from Eastern Europe via Texas to here.
Somebody described a Belgian Malinois as a German Shepherd on steroids.
Oh my gosh, she's phenomenal. She's a smaller dog, so she looks like a big Malinois, but think of like a rocket pocket, you know,
a smaller
version. So it's really good for getting in and out of cars. And, you know, the training is phenomenal. The deputy goes to school and meets the dog, and they bond, and they're at school for 12 weeks together learning how to do this. And so she's able to search out narcotics as well as article searches. So we're able to look for missing people. As long as we have an article of clothing or something to search for that person. Well, this dog is not a bite dog, an apprehension dog. So anyone that might cause harm to the dog, we don't send the dog after them. So they would never go after a robbery suspect, an assault suspect. But they will go find missing people, which is phenomenal.
Well, that's a great addition to the Summit County Sheriff's Office.
And the best part is we had a couple donors here that had paid for the dog, paid for everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So without them, this program would not exist.
Some great community support for the Summit County Sheriff's Office. Very cool. You're listening to the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. Talk about the deputies responding to a report of domestic violence.
Yeah, this was a domestic violence. This was a bad one where someone had strangled their significant other in front of their small children. This guy was apprehended and arrested by deputies. But, you know, what's unfortunate is, you know, these things happen. You know, again, this was drugs and alcohol were involved. Small children were involved. There's some allegations that the person not only strangled his wife, but also put hands on the children. These are not fun to investigate. They're not fun to respond to. There's never a happy ending because, you know, especially with little kids involved. But he was apprehended. He was taken to jail, and he will face charges of domestic violence and child abuse.
There was a case of burglary where deputies responded to reports of a man attempting multiple times to enter an unoccupied condominium in the Copper Mountain area.
Yeah, this one was a really interesting one because this is a guy that had been accused of breaking into vacant units and living in them. And so we had a deputy that went out there and did some, what I would call, and this was a female deputy that works for me because I had a conversation with her. And I'm like, this is like old school police work. Like when I read her report, because it was fascinating, the food wrappers that she collected, the hair off the pillow, the noting the indentation in the bed, and the just phenomenal, like real old school police work that she was able to track this guy down and obtain a photo of him, all from this evidence that she collected. And this deputy loves to collect fingerprints. So she collected her own fingerprints. And at the end of the day, long story short, they get a report of this guy hanging out near one of our bus transit centers. And they get there. And through, again, her old school questioning of this individual, was able to figure out that this was her guy. And was able to match the fingerprints, the hair, the food wrappers, because some of the food wrappers that she collected on scene, he had stuffed in his pockets. And so eventually, she was so good at what she did, eventually the guy just ended up admitting everything that he did. It was just a great case.
So what all did he admit to?
To trespassing and living in these units and eating these people's food and sleeping in the... It's like the story of the three bears. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How long is this going on?
Oh, he had done like several different units. Like as he'd get discovered, he'd go to another unit. And he was caught on surveillance. She collected local CCTV surveillance footage and door, you know, Ring camera footage and all this stuff. All in a day's work while she was just so interested in, she was going to find the person that broke into these units.
Kudos to that deputy.
Yeah, it was great. Good
for her.
That's
some good work, yeah.
Amen.
Well, there's another domestic violence incident. This one, a cat versus dog. Animal control officers responded to this one.
Yeah, you know, the thing about this one is, you know, we talk about dog issues here. You know, Summit County is the land of dogs. And we truly have a problem here with people with dogs off leash. And I would say, my opinion as a sheriff, you know, there's no consistency in unincorporated Summit County. You know, there's voice control with dogs. They can be 10 feet from you under voice control. But in the towns, there's strict leash laws where dogs have to be on leashes. I think if we had some consistency, maybe we wouldn't have some of these problems. Mm-hmm. Because people don't know, am I in the town? Am I in the county? Dog on, dog off. I live in a town here in the county, and I can tell you that nobody keeps a dog on a leash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unfortunately for this one, this was a dog that attacked a cat, a dog off leash attacked a cat. We sometimes see cats outside here in Summit County. killed the cat, and then the dog and the dog owner took off.
Oh.
Yeah, they took off. Sadly, the cat died. And our animal control officers are still investigating, trying to do their own, piecing together their own case to try to find this dog and dog owner. I'm completely confident that they will find it, because dog owners also don't, animal owners don't appreciate animals killing animals. So someone's going to turn these people in.
How about this wildfire? Deputies and local fire crews responding to reports of smoke along the Soda Creek Trail.
Yeah, so we've talked about a few fires we've had here recently. Really strange fires. The one we had in the Willows that burned up.
Right.
And then we had one in another neighborhood here that burned along a creek in Willows. These are two Willow fires in a row that I've never seen here before. And it's just because they were just before Greenup, being in dormant and Greenup, and human caused, of course, and someone lit them on fire. I wouldn't be surprised if the second one wasn't because someone heard of the first one. But this one is behind, there's so much, we're surrounded by forest here. And this is a neighborhood that with a forest behind them. And it's funny because, it's not funny, but it's interesting that I got a call from someone who lives in that neighborhood and said that they were the ones that reported this fire because they were looking out their bedroom window into the forest and they saw some smoke and they thought it was, things we call water dogs, moisture in the air. Just a little cloud of moisture. And then it got bigger and bigger. And they ran down there with their dog and GPSed where it was and was able to call 911 and get the fire department and the sheriff's deputies out there quickly. But this was another case of one of these things of people living in the forest and not being mindful of we're coming out of winter and it's been raining, but this dry and dead wood that's laying on the forest floor will spark anytime. And this person had a whole camp set up. So we'll find him too, her or him.
Still on the loose.
Still on the loose.
All right. Because that's an area where I ride my mountain bike.
Yes.
There's some great trails back there.
Oh, my God. Great trails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this person had woken up with their cup of coffee, looking out the window, going, water dog, moisture cloud, or real smoke?
But the fire wasn't that large from what I understand.
No, it was only like 8x8.
Okay.
But this camp had cut and stacked wood next to the sleeping bag, trash, the whole nine yards. I don't know if people don't realize, but people that camp in the woods or live in the woods, they do try to live near trailheads or to have easy access to other resources outside of their living arrangement. And unfortunately, these are always close to houses as well. And, we don't need a catastrophic fire ever, but certainly not the fire season hasn't really even started yet because we still have snow on the ground.
Right.
So I'd like, as the statutory person responsible for wildfire, I'd like to keep it that way.
Yes, please.
Yes.
And the Smoky Bear signs are still at low.
Yes, they're still at low. I mean, we've had some incredible rain the last few days.
Yeah.
As we sit here now looking out the window, it's raining all around us.
Summertime will eventually get here, though.
least it's rain and not snow. We've moved from...
We don't have to shovel the rain.
Oh, my God. We don't have to shovel the rain. Not until next week.
Closed cases on the Summit County Justice Files, criminal investigations that have wrapped up. Let's talk about these.
Yeah, this was an interesting domestic violence case that patrol had handled back in April, and it was a domestic violence call. One person was claimed that they were thrown to the ground by their husband. These two people both worked at a local ski area and both were, both skiers. And it turned out the investigation that there was, after we were talking to the victim in this, that there was two previous assaults on her as well, by her husband. But what's interesting was this involved an ex-husband, a current co-worker, a love affair, the ex-husband catching the, separated husband and wife, catching his you know, his separated wife with this other guy, and this is what it involved in, this huge, violent love triangle.
Wow.
And detectives were finally able to unravel it and get a warrant for this person just last week and get him into custody. And from that, when we interviewed the other person involved in this, the coworker that was currently dating this woman, it turns out that her ex-husband or separated husband was also stalking him. So there were stalking charges to boot.
It's a good thing that these are getting resolved.
These were a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
wrapping things up. Let's talk about the burglary. This involved the burglary eluding case from Breckenridge into Frisco a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, remember that one we talked about on the podcast?
Right.
Yeah, where it turned out to almost be a pursuit through Frisco and the guy fled. So we processed the car. When I say that, I mean our CSI team, our evidence team went out there, processed it, you know, found other stolen items in the car, and we found mail in the car. So we had suspected, we knew the car and the person was wanted for in connection with burglaries down in the Denver area, but because the mail was local addresses here in Summit County, we were afraid that maybe this person had been burglarized in other homes. So through our investigation and through the diligence of our CSI team and our detectives, we were able to determine that it was only actually one mail theft that happened, and the mail that this guy stole, the person whose mail it was happened to be moving around the county and never changed all the different addresses. And when they collected their mail from the mailbox, it just happened to have different addresses.
Oh, really?
But only one place. So we got lucky there.
At but what we, point where there's mail involved, do you get the feds involved?
So we do get them involved in mail theft. We had talked about a mail package theft ring here on the podcast. You know, certainly what we find with our federal partners is they're great partners and great resources, but they don't always bring cases to the federal attorneys. That they go, hey, you know, can you guys file this with your local district attorneys? So a lot of these cases end up going state charges filed on them instead of federal because the threshold is so high on the federal side, which you would think makes no sense. And it doesn't make any sense why the threshold is so high, but maybe it's to keep cases down.
The states handle it, I guess.
The state will handle it. The feds have no money.
Well, that's what, another reason.
isn't that what they're saying? The states have no money, right?
Right, exactly.
The feds have no money.
We're all broke.
We're all broke. Oh, God.
Oh, that's a wrap for this week's Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, along with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
No, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friends, stay safe, stay informed. And if you're thinking about committing a crime, please don't. It never ends well, and you just might end up as our next feature.
And you can read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.